Before we dive into today's incredible episode, I wanted to let you know that Publish the Personal is back. It is a fan favorite class that always sells out, and it's starting back up on January 23rd. I teach you how to write and publish your personal essays so that they're no longer just sitting on your laptop collecting dust. And if you've had rejections rolling in and you don't know why, I'm going to teach you the exact strategy for getting your essays published already. So you'll want to join us. You can find out all the info at NadineKennyJohnstone.com. Now on to today's episode. My mission is to raise women's voices, to get women's writing out into the world. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place. The heart of the story. Hi, friends. I've been thinking a lot about publication lately, how to get published. And the reason for this is not only because I'm leading my fan favorite class, Publish the Personal, again, and the doors just opened, but also because so many of my students have been having great publishing success. And I have had my own pieces published in major magazines. In fact, a few of my excerpts from my guided journal have been published in major magazines, and I'm really, really proud of it. And yet I realize that it is not an easy process, and it's one that is rarely talked about, how to get published. And so I wanted to share some of the tips and tricks that I have learned over the course of my professional life. I worked at Chicago Magazine for a couple of years while I was in graduate school. Then I went to graduate school to study creative writing. And then I was a university professor teaching creative writing for 15 years, and now I've been a writing coach for almost a decade and have been leading my own workshops and retreats specifically through my business for the last 4 years, all about writing and getting published. And my mission is to raise women's voices, to get women's writing out into the world, because your words matter. But it may feel like an impossible feat to get published. So today I'm going to share how exactly to break down those doors that feel like they are guarding you. So if you're someone who wants to see your words in print, if you're someone who's been racking up rejections, if you are a female entrepreneur and you want to tell the world about your business and you want to do so by getting an article published or having an interview with you featured in a major magazine, this is the episode for you. Let's start with one of the primary things that I teach in Publish the Personal, my 6-week course for publishing your personal essays. The number one mistake that I see writers make is that they first write something and then they look for where they should publish it. While this is not a bad thing, I noticed that an even smarter way to increase your odds specifically for publication is to first choose a magazine or publication, study it, and then write specifically for that magazine. Of course, you can do this either way, but I have found in my classes and coaching that when we really look at a particular publication and we study what they've already published and we get a feel of the patterns within the pieces that they have accepted for publication, we start to see some trends about the tone that they like, the structures that they prefer, scene-based versus exposition, if they like humor versus seriousness. You will start to really get a feel of a magazine's preferences when you study it and you study what they've already published. And this helps to really hone in on writing a piece specifically for that publication. One of my students, Sally Schwartz, is an amazing writer, and she was looking at The Sun magazine, and they had an upcoming theme called Caught in the Act. And she had been thinking about this moment where she ate the top of her sister's wedding cake. You know how you freeze the top of the cake to save for an anniversary for the couple to eat? Well, Sally ate her sister's wedding cake top and kind of did so without that much remorse. And it was such a funny scene. And Sally had been wanting to, you know, do something with that scene and write something around it. And so this theme, Caught in the Act, came up. And whenever you have something that's theme-based, it really helps to kind of get specific and you go, oh, okay, well, I can kind of maneuver this thing I want to write about or I've kind of fiddled with before. I can maneuver it to fit that theme. Now, the Sun Readers' Write section likes really short pieces, so Sally knew that it had to be, I think, under 500 words, closer to 400, and it had to be visceral. It had to be very scene-based because those are the sorts of things that the Sun publishes. And so she wrote that piece within their guidelines, and it got published. This is just one of many examples where you take a look at the magazine, their specific requests, their word count, the types of things they like, even the themes that are specific to an upcoming issue. And you think about what within your experiences or your drafts that you can share and really cultivate and customize for that publication. I'll also give you another example. I coached a woman named Sarah Robinson, and she was talking about this experience where she had gotten a headshot taken and she had created a LinkedIn profile. And being a stay-at-home mom and a former journalist who was doing some freelancing work in the meantime, she realized that when she put this LinkedIn profile up, that it really gave her a boost of confidence and made her feel like she could put herself professionally back out into the world and claim all of the experiences that she had had over the, you know, say decade plus of raising her kids that could go within her LinkedIn profile. And it really made her feel confident. So she wrote a piece all about what it was like to create her LinkedIn profile and list all the experiences and wisdom that she had gained over the years of raising her kids and doing lots of other work too. And I was thinking about where specifically that could be placed, and I recommended Zibby Mag. So formerly it was Moms Don't Have Time To, but who reads and writes for that magazine? Who is the target audience? It is women who are probably within their late 30s to early 50s who are really cognizant and conscious of what's going on in the world. Many of them also raise kids or have raised kids, and also they prioritize their professional and creative pursuits. So it was perfectly fitting for that magazine. And so as she was writing it, it was with that audience in mind and speaking to how maybe for other women, creating a LinkedIn profile might also give them a boost of confidence to see and list all of the experiences and wisdom that they've gained over the last couple of decades. Okay, so you really want to study the magazine, thinking about my own publications. I had a piece published recently in OnSite Journal. OnSite is a therapeutic retreat center in Tennessee, and they prioritize mental and emotional wellness. Well, I have a chapter in my guided journal and essay collection, Come Home to Your Heart, called Triage, which is about how to prioritize our most bleeding wounds, so to speak, rather than the thing that is actually not a big priority, but we're giving it all our attention. Say, for example, your marriage is suffering, but you're going to use your time to go through your email inbox. We're misprioritizing. And so I wrote all about that. And I was really thinking about OnSite and what they love and cherish for their content, and it's all about prioritizing mental and emotional wellness. So that was a perfect fit. So always study the publication first. Then you want to think about current relevance or timeliness. And you might have to do this far in advance. When my memoir came out in 2017, called Of This Much I'm Sure, and it's about infertility, I was really thinking ahead to April, which is Infertility Awareness Week. It happens towards the end of April every year. And so I knew that even though I was, 6 months out, I was thinking in October about the upcoming April when my book would not only come out, but also that Infertility Awareness Week would be. I was pitching places specifically with that timeline in mind of, hey, have you thought about for your spring issue focusing on something around infertility? Because did you know that this week in April is Infertility Awareness Week? I am always encouraging people to think about the timing and the relevance of that. And so what do you know? The bulk of the press around my book that happened in kind of a frenzy was because of that Infertility Awareness Week timing. One of my students, former students in Publish the Personal, Margaret Gilmetti, had a tiny love story that she wrote in Publish the Personal and she sent to the New York Times. And what was coming up? It was New Year's Eve coming up shortly. And what did she write about? New Year's Eve. And so what do you know? When they're looking at the submissions, they're not only looking at the beautiful writing, but then they're also wanting to take something that is timely. And so her piece about a New Year's Eve moment came out within that winter timeframe. So you want to look for these good fits in time. Recently, a piece of mine came out in Good Grit magazine, and when I was going back and forth with the editor, there were four different possibilities of upcoming themes. She said, well, we have the Awaken theme, which is the spring issue. It's about rebirth after getting through obstacles and hard times. And I was like, bingo, I've got a piece for that. I have a piece that I wrote specifically about springtime, the spring that I lost my father, and how I still found beauty and love even despite the grief. And I was talking about all the things that kind of happened at once during that spring. My sister got engaged, so I was really happy for her, and some other things were going on at the very same time that I was grieving. So when I pitched that specific essay to Good Grit, I was really honing in on the fact that it was a spring issue. My essay was about spring. It was about all the themes that they had talked about. Okay. So you want to be thinking about current relevance. Any anniversaries that are coming up, holidays that are coming up, honoring months or awareness weeks. Those are things to consider. Thirdly, you want to look for the holes. This is something else I teach in Publish the Personal, which is you want to look for the gaps where people haven't been focusing on your particular angle and they should be. For example, one of my students, Barbara Phillips, beautiful writer, she's been on this podcast, she was submitting something to The Sun for their theme, American Dream. And she was talking about being pulled over on the highway, a Black woman in Mississippi, and the fear that was created within her, not knowing what would happen as the police officers stepped out of the car because of the long history of police brutality. I won't spoil what happens in that story, but when you think of American Dream, what she was trying to show in her piece is all the things that have happened in America that are not a quote-unquote dream. Again, you'll have to read. I'll put the link in the show notes, what happens. But what she really found was a hole. She found a missing element that needed to be discussed. So you're always looking for the holes. When I was writing about infertility, I was specifically targeting parenting magazines, which seems counterintuitive. I'm speaking about not being a parent, but wanting to be, and I'm targeting parenting publications. Well, I knew that any number of people who read those magazines, they might be experiencing second-time infertility, where maybe they have one child, but they're having difficulty having their next child. They're experiencing miscarriages or infertility. And I knew that it was kind of this gap, this hole in a lot of the adult magazines, magazines geared towards people and parents, that we weren't talking about infertility. And so when my memoir came out in 2017, I was specifically pitching my pieces about not being a parent and wanting to be to parenting magazines because it was a hole and it was a gap. The fourth thing I want us to think about is this beautiful question that I know Renee Trudeau asks, Emily P. Freeman asks, what is uniquely mine to do? And that means, what specifically do you offer in terms of expertise or niche? What rooms do you have eyeballs into that other people do not? I'll give you an example, not only from students, but then from my own experience. Your very own Michelle Rado, who produces this podcast, has had three separate pieces published in Brevity Blog. Brevity Blog specifically is writing about writing, but Michelle's unique offering is that she does audio production, and she does this in many different veins, not only for podcasts, but she helps writers produce their audiobooks. And so she has written multiple pieces with this sort of audio producer lens in mind, and how she helps people get their stories out into the world as an audio producer. So that is her unique angle. For me, I was thinking about when I was interviewed for Here magazine, they were doing an issue about wellness retreats, and they were interviewing all these wellness retreat experts around the world and, you know, asking them, where should people go and what should people do? And I knew that they probably got a lot of answers about the most beautiful places in the world to go do retreats. But what I wanted to hone in on is my unique offering. I really tend to think about reflection and journaling and the mental and emotional transitions that we go through when we're trying to take time on our own to quote unquote retreat. So what I told the reporter about was we spent all this time and money trying to go somewhere to quote unquote get away, but how do we make the most of that? How do we prepare ourselves and our family members mentally and emotionally for our absence? And how do we get what we truly want out of it in terms of what we're trying to get clear on internally? So he gave a bunch of different prompts and questions for people to ask as they prepared for their trip, as they were on the plane or drive to the trip, once they got to the place, throughout their time doing solo retreat, and then upon leaving and after the retreat. Different questions of reflection. And this was different than what the other people who were interviewed were offering. So that was my unique angle. I was also interviewed in Authority magazine, and that feels a little bit intimidating, right? You're going, what am I an authority on? And this was a couple of years before my guided journal came out, but all I could think about was journaling and how I had been a lifelong journaler, how I had this specific method of journaling that I thought was really unique. And I realized that while it might not sound fancy, journaling was my unique authority, my specific approach to journaling and the specific questions that I asked in the journal and the types of things I did in the journal. I knew that other people weren't doing that. And so that was my offering to Authority magazine when they interviewed me. So no thing is too small when you're thinking about your unique angle and offering. Finally, what I'll say is that the biggest thing that I kind of harp on in Publish the Personal is that simply doing the submitting or doing the pitching will put you far and above other writers, because so many other people talk themselves out of doing the pitch or submitting the work. They get too intimidated, they get too into their heads, their critic takes over, and they just don't. So, if nothing else, ask, pitch, submit. You will be so far ahead of the game just because you've taken that brave step. When we're in Publish the Personal, we all have a homework assignment where everybody has to not only submit to a publication every 2 weeks, but then you have to take a screenshot of it as healthy peer pressure to share with each other in our group email. So you have proof that you've actually done the thing and you have to do it by a certain deadline. So it really truly just kind of takes away your critic brain because you don't have any time or space or room for it. It's like, well, this is my homework and I need to show proof to the entire group that I did it. So it needs to be done now, 11:59 on Tuesday evening. Done, sent, okay? This puts you far ahead above the rest. I can't tell you how many times I have nervously just pressed send with my eyes closed when sending a pitch, or I have pressed the submit button with my heart pounding and I just go, okay, go, because we just have to get it done. All right, my friends, I am sending you all of my good vibes for you to put your words out into the world because they truly do matter. And what I've seen is that my students who have gotten published, one of the biggest, most pride-filled moments that they get is when they hear back from readers who say, this piece really touched me. And then they realize, okay, so that angst or that fear about submitting, it was worth it because look at the impact that I am having on the world and other people with my words. I've gotten countless emails from women who have said thank you for sharing my infertility story because it helped them feel less alone. I have been able to connect with women all over the world because of putting my words out there via this podcast and through the stories I've published. And I've seen countless students help other people feel less alone by sharing their essays and their books with the world. So it is truly, truly worth it. I wish this all for you. If you would like some help and support in this arena, Publish the Personal is now open. Spots have been filling up super fast. The class always sells out because it gets results. Gosh, over 10 people now have been published in the New York Times alone, just from previous cohorts. The writers have been published in all sorts of places. The Sun, the Globe, you name it, they've been published there. It really is such a rewarding thing to watch. Thank you to my published producer, Michelle Rado, for producing this podcast. If you think this would be helpful for someone that you know who wants to get their words out into the world, please share it and tag me on Instagram. I am at Nadine Kenny Johnstone. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story and every story has a heart. See you next week.